Hello and welcome to the DD&D podcast, DementedDungeonsAndDragons.com.
Yes, and this week we can blame me for it being a little late.
Actually, it's 7 o'clock, so we're right on time.
Oh, is it? Wow. Well, Shirley and Lola's clock is run fast then.
Hakuna Matata.
Hakuna Matata. Yes, I'm joining you from the fabulous porch of Bill and Shirley and Lola's.
In the Ozarks.
Ozarks. Ozark Plateau.
Yes, the world's non-flattest plateau.
Are you sure about that?
Okay, you're breaking up. Is it because I have bad signal or because you do?
You.
It's me.
It's always you.
Always me. So what's today's subject?
Tiny Dot.
Tiny Dot. Oh, I didn't review it. I don't know. I don't know the guy who did it. Did you ever see it? Did you ever see that video?
No, but that was what we used that we would talk about on the next podcast.
All right. Well, here's the premise behind Tiny Dot, right? There's this
tiny
really tiny dot. And so with all the other dots what to do. And here's how tiny that dot is, all right? Count all the people in Congress. All 200 of them in the Congress and in the Senate.
I forget exactly. I should know that.
And they make up all these. Well, yeah, there's at least two for every state of one of them. And then who knows how many of the others. All right. So there's a couple hundred of these guys, right? But if you compare it to the population on this land, they don't even add up to 1%. And yet, somehow, they write all these rules, regulations, standards, and guidelines, and they know how best to run everyone else's life.
Right.
All right. As if you don't know how to run your own life. Okay.
I don't. Can you tell me how to run my life?
No. It's enough work for just me running my own life. So somebody who thinks they're so smart that they run my life and they've never even met me. You know, I find the advice they give to other people circumspect, you know, let alone telling them how to actually live their life. Yeah.
Define circumspect.
Questionable.
So basically, with a grain of salt.
Yeah, take it with a grain of salt. Because, you know, it's like, first off, any advice I give you is based on my viewpoint of life. And, you know, and based on my successes and my failures, and so somebody asking me, you know, one of my friends asking me marriage advice, it's like, well, let's see now. I was married for 20 years, 12 of that was apparently fake, no married, would like to be married. I don't think my advice is very good when it comes to marriage. And yet somebody asked me advice.
Well, you did a lot of things right in your relationship.
Well, that may be the case, but that's a rabbit hole going down that route. But yeah, I mean, so somebody asking me advice on something is like, well, I can preface my advice by telling them my resume for giving such advice, you know, and you know what I would do different. I can tell them what I would do different. That's about all I could do. So, and honestly, I'm not entirely sure I would do anything much different. There's some things I would definitely do differently, though. But I mean, you know, somebody, you know, you got the couple hundred people telling everybody what to do. It's like, so why do we even listen to the tiny dot? You know?
I don't listen to the tiny dot.
Well, in a way you do.
I'm
in a way you do.
Tiny dot.
You're running to be part of the tiny dot. Right.
Kano for tiny dot.
Kano for Congress. Put Kano into the tiny dot. All right? I mean, that's how all the countries are, all around the world are. There's this very small collection of people, this tiny dot, who tells everybody else what to do. And really, they're not wiser, smarter, more brilliant, or anything like that. They're just people who have been given power. And we give them power by listening to them. And we really, you know, I don't know. It's
and they're supposed to be listening to us, not the other way around.
Yeah, they're supposed to be listening to us, and you know there are certain.
Their job is to protect our freedoms and our liberties, not to tell us what to do.
Right, and we're supposed to be firing them when they don't do those things. I mean, we're supposed to be firing them on the spot, not every 4 years, or not every other year, or whatever, you know, their term of service is. They're not serving our needs. We're supposed to fire them on the spot.
You're out of here.
Yeah, you're out of here. Your office is now vacant.
Time to put Kano in here.
There you go.
Just kidding.
Put Kano in there, who will vote no for anything that increases the size, the cost, extends the reach, or the power of government.
There you go.
Yeah. Yeah, I stumbled on that. I still got it out.
You did it right this time.
Yeah, but I did stumble on it. I had to stop and think for about a split second about the second part.
I will vote no on anything that increases the size, the cost, extends the reach, and the power of government.
Hey. So.
And the New World Order.
Well, that's...
Government.
Yeah. I don't know. Somebody asked me if I believe it shouldn't have government. My answer is no, it should have government. All right? But it should be self-governance. In other words, you should keep yourself under control. If you fail to keep yourself under control, then yeah, I'm all for somebody beating the crap out of you when you go and grab some little girl and Lester or whatever, because you're a serious harm. Okay? And I'm not going to complain about some vigilante hanging you from a tree if indeed that's what you were doing. You know, but, you know, for the most part, you know, most people do a fairly good job of controlling themselves, all right? So let them, you know,
right.
Let them control themselves. We don't need to make all these rules, regulations, standards, and guidelines. Oh, he ran a stop sign. Oh!
Let's nail him to the wall.
Nail him to the wall and take his livelihood from him. Steal his car. It's like, excuse me? All he did was run a stop sign.
Just like there's a dude all the past that if you pay child support, now child support can put a lien against everything you own. Doesn't matter if you're paying or not.
Well,
they can put a lien against everything you own.
If Uncle Sam and his children weren't giving so many benefits to broken families, people might not be so inclined to break families, and so child support was a required item.
True that.
You know?
Yeah, because now anybody who pays child support, the bank is afraid to touch them just because they pay child support. It makes them look like a deadbeat dad, makes them harder to get, you know, anything.
Well, and it's like this. If the parent who has the children can't support the children, then maybe the children should go to the other parent.
Right.
Yeah. You know, what's the deal with putting a noose around one of the parents' necks? So, you know, that's not right, you know, and often, you know, there's problems with the children being seen by the other parent, you know, even though the parent desires to do so.
Yeah.
Yep. So, anyway, another part of the tiny dot deal is they say, well, the reason why we obey them is because they have all these guns and stuff like that. And actually, if you add up the numbers of how many people are in the military, it's actually also a very tiny dot. It's an insignificant portion of the population in almost every nation. You know, even without guns, if we took all the guns away from all the Americans, and I'm not recommending that happens, but if we took all the guns away from all the Americans and only let military carry them, only let police carry them, there's still so many more people than there are military and law enforcement and stuff like that. And in all honesty, it wouldn't be hard to overrun them. Sure, a couple of people would get shot, but... You know, I don't know. All it says to me is that the human race is basically a bunch of cowards. They have no desire for freedom. They want to be led around by a ring in their nose.
Yeah.
You know, that's not the message. The guy who did the video, just look up Tiny Dot on YouTube and you should be able to see it.
YouTube, Tiny.
Yeah, I wish I could remember the guy's name, but he's done a number of really good videos and such. One is he does an example of this plantation, southern plantation, where they have slaves. And there's a bit of an uprising on this one farm. And the farmer wanted to go and beat the slaves and rile them into control and that, you know, because he wasn't getting the production that he needed out of his farm, all right? So he heard of this guy who had good advice for how to handle slaves. And so he talked to the guy, and the guy said, hey, well, I'll talk to your slave. All right? Don't say a word. All right? And he talked to the slaves, and he says, okay, from now on, this farm is going to be run. You know, all of you are now free. All right? But, you know, all the farms around have slaves on them and stuff like that, and if you used to wander off, you know, they would, you know, capture you and possibly lynch you and stuff like that for being a runaway slave, even though you're free now, right? But, you know, you have this farm here. This farm now belongs to all of you, okay? Now, oh, you don't have experience in actually running a farm and dealing with the big business issues and stuff like that. All right? Well, this gentleman over here that you used to call master, he's very experienced in all that stuff. All right? But maybe you don't appreciate him. All right? Well, down the road, his cousin is also very experienced at, you know, doing that kind of management. All right, you know, getting the product sold and off to market and stuff like that. All right? So every year you guys will get to vote on who you want to manage, you know, and I'll present to you, you know, qualified people to do so. All right? And so now all these slaves, they thought they were free. Right, but in honesty, nothing really changed on the farm, except they thought they were doing everything for themselves, but they didn't get any more product out of it, they didn't get any more food, they didn't get any better housing, they just worked harder and produced more, you know, right. And there's a bit more to the story, but, you know, this is another video that this same guy did, you know, and it you know, kind of.
Yeah, like, you know, our taxes keep going up and we're still free, but we have to keep working harder in order to pay more taxes and to survive because, you know, it's the American dream.
Right. Right. But what do your taxes pay for?
Well, yeah. I mean, we do reap some benefits like roads and whatnot, but the roads supposedly
Your taxes don't pay.
I didn't say that the taxes went to that. I wasn't finished.
Okay.
I said we reap some benefits from the government. Like roads and whatnot, but from what we understand, the taxes don't go to pay for that. The government borrows the money to pay for the roads, and then we have to pay the taxes on what they borrowed to pay for our roads.
Yeah, almost. We're not even paying the interest on the loan at this point.
At this point, correct.
And we haven't been for a long time.
Yep. That's why we're trillions of dollars in debt.
Yeah. Did that on purpose because, you know. Well, it's like the company store thing, you know, and you're.
I owe my.
When you're working.
Company store.
Yeah, you had to buy your uniform to work in the mine from the company store. And you had to buy your lamp and various other things from the company store. And they cost a lot of money. And if they got broke, you had to buy a replacement. And oftentimes these people would, you know, have it put on their tab against their future wages and, you know, another day older and deeper in debt, you know. How does the song go? 16 tons and what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt?
Yep.
You know. Because you had to use the company pickaxe and the company shovel and the company clothes and the company boots and the company mask and the company lantern. When you went down there. And those are all things that the company should have been providing if they wanted workers. But instead, you know, they insisted on you using certain ones and you had to buy them from the company.
Yeah, it's just like in my business, they used to pay us, not so much for our CDLs, but for the endorsements that we needed to do our jobs.
Right.
You know? And I think some companies even used to pay us, reimburse us for the CDL. They pay us for everything that we needed, you know, reimburse us for everything that we needed to do our jobs. Anything that
there
was first, we had to pay for. But gradually they've been, you know, one by one, not paying for those things. And now I pretty much got to pay for everything. Unless it's for the truck, you know. But unless it's for the truck, then it's, well, yeah, they have certain things that that they accept and certain things they don't. So, yeah.
Well, you see, the answer to that is to get all the drivers to refuse to get those endorsements. You know? But you're not going to do that because somebody's always going to agree to do those endorsements just so they can have work.
Yep. Pretty much.
You know? And thus my battle. With the courts here in Cedar County.
Crappy County.
Yeah. Apparently I was issued a traffic ticket 4 years ago?
3-ish.
3 years ago. Right. And they never contacted me about it. Put a warrant out for my arrest, and it was nonsense in the first place because it doesn't apply to me. It doesn't apply to any of us, really, but, you know, I don't know. Okay, simple rule for testing if a law is valid or not, all right? If you don't have the right to do it to your neighbor, you don't have the right to ask somebody else to do it to your neighbor. You can't pass on a right to somebody else that you don't have. I can't say to Kano, you know, if I don't have the right to go over and steal Joe's stuff, I can't turn around and tell Kano, hey, go steal that stuff, right? So if I don't have the right to say, hey, I'm putting a tax on your wages, right? If I don't have a right to do that to you, then I don't have a right to tell somebody else to go do it to you. You know, and that's a simple test of whether a law is lawful or not. If the law is doing something that you can't by yourself do without a law, then the law is unlawful. So, somebody runs a stop sign. I can't issue somebody a ticket for running a stop sign. I might issue them a notice saying, hey, you're endangering the children in this neighborhood because you're ignoring the stop signs. And when they have an accident, they can't claim they didn't know better. You know, they'll be fully liable when they have an accident because they're running the stop signs. Right? I mean, quite frankly, you see a stop sign on the corner, it's just kind of common sense that's public notice that you're responsible for what happened. You don't stop at the stop sign. Okay, fine. I accept that. If I harm somebody because I ran the stop sign, then okay, I accept I'm responsible for it. All right? But if I don't harm anybody, then why am I being harmed? Why is somebody issuing a ticket against me telling me, oh, you owe $150 to the coffers of Cedar County because you hurt us, because you ran the stop sign? Like, who's injured? Show me the party.
Right, you didn't even run a stop sign. You just didn't have tags on a trailer.
Yes. Yeah, I didn't have tags on a trailer. I just use the stop sign example because it's pretty common. Speed limits. I mean, you know, shoot. There's a gentleman that dug through the traffic laws for the state of Texas, and he found out that all the speed limit signs in Texas do not apply to the common driver. They only apply for people who are driving for the state of Missouri. Mostly they apply to the transportation department of the state of Missouri.
You mean Texas?
Or Texas, I'm sorry. Wrong state. Yeah. State of Texas, all right? They're only a suggestion for everybody else. That, you know, the only requirement for everybody else is that they drive at a safe speed for the conditions. And who determines that? Well, the driver. Unless, of course, the driver lacks good judgment and proves it by having an accident. At which point they can get a ticket for speeding. But I'm not sure how that helps the victim, you know. I suppose for the state to issue the ticket, the state would have to prove they were victimized, you know. Anyway. All right, so I was listening to a podcast today. It was called, I forgot what it's called. Anyway, this girl was talking about how the Republican Party changed the rules when Ron Paul was running for president, so he didn't qualify as a Republican candidate for president.
All right.
And how that upset her. And how that made her into an anarchist. Ooh.
Bum, bum, bum.
Unless you believe that you need a king or a queen telling you how to live your life, you too are an anarchist. You're against
anarchy. Anarchy rules.
Anyway, it was interesting listening to her.
Very interesting. Listening to people that are full of poo-poo.
She wasn't full of poo-poo.
Oh.
At least I hope she wasn't.
She was just partly full of poo-poo.
Well, she didn't see any point of voting for president if we weren't allowed, you know, decent candidates, if all these fun and games were being played.
That's true.
And that's kind of what stopped me from voting. The biggest thing that stopped me from voting is I came to the conclusion that if you didn't know about the subject in the first place, you really shouldn't be voting on it. you know, because you're voting ill-informed. If anything, you should vote no. All right? But there's all these ignorant people that go out, and it's like, oh, that name sounds right. The right to work. What do you call it when you put something on a ballot? The right to work initiative. Like, yeah, we should vote yes on the right to work initiative. Well, if you read the right to work initiative that they had here in Missouri, it was actually taking away the right of people to work. You had to jump through hoops in order to work if that thing passed. You know?
Oh, yeah.
Which you have to do now. But it was just making more loops for you to jump through. All right? I mean, right now, most jobs, you have to have a Social Security number and a driver's license. And
number.
I do what? Oh, slave number? Yeah. You know, so a socialist slave number. Anyway, you have to have all these. You have to have all your paperwork in order before you can go get a job. All right.
Let me see your papers.
And most of it has nothing to do with if you're qualified to do the job. You know. I mean, if you're going to go work for McDonald's, you know, they should basically put you on probation and see how good you are at flipping burgers. And the first time you spit on the grill, you're out of there. You know? That simple. You know, what hoops do you need to jump through? You know, I mean, if the kid looks too young, you know, you might make them jump through the hoop of, do you have your parents' permission to work at this place? You know, make them bring their parents there. Other than that, you know, what hoops would you make them jump through? None. You know, just prove you can do the job. I hear silence.
Silence!
Whoa, that was pretty loud silence. All righty. If I don't get hired tomorrow, I'm going to hop on my bike and go to our farm and plant onions. And cut down braces. You know what? I think we got enough braces on our land. There's a hedge tree between us and Glenn's up in the corner on the road. And I think it's got plenty of braces in it.
Plenty.
So when next we go to P&L to harvest hedge posts and stuff like that, we should put them up for sale. That or save them up for when we're doing the full perimeter.
Right.
But.
Oh, yeah, we'll need more.
Yeah, we'll need more. Yep.
We just have enough for what we're doing right now.
Yep.
Yeah, and we got our signs up.
Yes, we're now officially helping the state government by cleaning up the ditches along the road.
Which they should be doing since they're stealing our money through taxes.
Well, yeah. But we should be building our own roads.
Yep.
And be out there cleaning our own ditches.
Yep.
So.
We all should be responsible for the ditches in front of the properties in which we own or renting from God.
Yes. Yep, what we're renting from God. Well, and if you don't believe in God, well, you know, hey, you got to at least believe in the universe.
We are renting from the universe.
And if it's going to outlive you, it's a little hard for you to say you own it. If you hear that wonderful chirping sound, that's a guinea.
Guinea, guinea, bobini, banana, fana, fufini.
Yes, we need to get a flock of these on our land. So I need
what?
To get moved over there. And build a guinea house.
Guinea house.
Yep. Guineas are funny. We got these really ugly black and white heads with these red lobes that hang at the side of their cheeks. And they will literally run all day long back and forth on trying to get through a fence when they're perfectly capable of flying 30 feet straight up into the air. But even a one-foot fence can stop them, and all day long they'll run back and forth trying to get back. But they'll eat your ticks and chiggers and fleas and other nasty parasites that you don't want anywhere near you.
Like a parasite, I want to crawl all over you. Like a parasite, think of all the good things we can do.
Nasty. Anyway. Yeah, and then if you got too many of them, they're really tasty eating.
What,
there
parasite?
Was a time. No, guineas. There was a time when guineas were preferred over pheasant to the point where you'd go to the store to buy a guinea for your you know evening meal, and they'd sell you a pheasant instead and tell you it was a guinea. And so in order to stop that, they insisted that whenever you butchered a guinea, you had to throw the head into the cavity to prove that it was a guinea.
Right.
Yeah. Anyway, guineas are good eating.
Guineas are good eating.
All righty. Well.
Yep.
Play Ron Paul for us?
That's what I'm about to do.
All right. I don't hear no Ron Paul.
President Obama and Vice President Biden held a hastily arranged secret meeting with Federal Reserve Chairman Janet Yellen. According to the one-paragraph statement released by the White House following the meeting, Yellen, Obama, and Biden simply exchanged notes about the economy and the progress of financial reform. Because the meeting was held behind closed doors, the American people have no way of knowing what else the three might have discussed. Yellen's secret meeting at the White House followed an emergency secret Federal Reserve Board meeting. The Fed then held another secret meeting to discuss bank reform. These secret meetings come on the heels of the Federal Reserve Bank of Atlanta's estimate that the first quarter GDP was 1%, dangerously close to the official definition of recession. Thus, the real reason for all these secret meetings could be a panic that the Fed's eight-year explosion of money creation has not just failed to revive the economy, but is about to cause another major market meltdown. Establishment politicians and economists find the Fed's failures puzzling. According to the Keynesian paradigm, they still dominate the thinking of most policymakers. The Fed's money creation should have produced such robust growth that today the Fed would be raising interest rates to prevent the economy from overheating. The Fed's response to its failure is to find new ways to pump money into the economy. Hence, the Fed is actually considering implementing negative interest rates. Negative interest rates are a hidden tax on savings. Negative interest rates may create the short-term illusion of growth, but by discouraging savings, they will cause tremendous long-term economic damage. Even as Yellen admits that the Fed has not taken negative interest rates off the table, she and other Fed officials are still promising to raise rates this year. The Federal Reserve needs to promise future rate increases in order to stop nervous investors from fleeing U.S. markets and challenging the dollar's reserve currency status. The Fed can only keep the wolves at bay with promises of future rate increases for so long before its policies cause a major dollar crisis. However, raising rates could also cause major economic problems. Higher interest rates will hurt the millions of Americans struggling with student loan debt and credit card debt, and other forms of debt. Already, over 40% of Americans who owe student loan debts are defaulting on their payments. If Federal Reserve policies increase the burden of student loan debt, the number of defaults will dramatically increase, leading to a bursting of the student loan bubble. By increasing the federal government's cost of borrowing, an interest rate increase will also make it harder for the federal government to manage its debt. Increased costs of debt financing will place increased burden on the American people and could be the last straw that finally pushes the federal government into a Greek-style financial crisis. The no-win situation the Fed finds itself in is a sign that we are reaching the inevitable collapse of the fiat currency system. Unless immediate steps are taken to manage the transition, this collapse could usher in an economic catastrophe dwarfing the Great Depression. Therefore, those of us who know the truth must redouble our efforts to spread the ideas of liberty. If we are successful, we may be able to force Congress to properly manage the transition by cutting spending in all areas and auditing, then ending the Federal Reserve. We may also be able to ensure the current crisis ends not just the Fed, but the entire welfare warfare state. Thanks for calling this update, 888-322-1414.
To repeat the announcement, press 1. To repeat the announcement, press...
Okay, David Ray must have dropped off. I heard a donk. But he'll be back. Wow, we've already been talking 45 minutes. I barely remember what Ron Paul was talking about, except for basically the New World Order bullcrap. People are screwing the people, American people again. The tiny dot is screwing us again. Raising interest rates, giving us negative interest rates, so that the trickle-up theory works to its best advantage. Reaganomics is not the trickle-down theory. It's the trickle-up theory. And every time we turn around, they're jabbing us, sticking us, screwing us, taking more money, and taking more power, taking more liberties, taking more freedoms, etc., etc., etc.
Yeah, I didn't catch the tail end of that, but yeah, that was the general gist I got from that. I think it's interesting you didn't mention the fact that the Fed has gone beyond It was only commissioned for 100 years, and it passed it last year.
Oh, right.
It passed it in 2013. It's 2 years past its charter.
It's 2 years past its expiration date.
Yeah, and it's getting stinky. Yeah, I'm surprised it's lasted 100 years in the first place. It took a lot of manipulation to get to last that long.
Yeah, I'm surprised we put up with it for that long.
Yep. And all the stuff he was talking about, they can't lower interest rates. They can't even do a negative interest rate. Like, how about a 0% interest rate? How about a money system that does not require any debt whatsoever on it and does not allow for debt? Jeez.
Right.
For those of you that think I'm even crazy suggesting such a thing, what's that one second?
Yes, he is.
Yeah, that's not the right side. Community Exchange System.
Community Exchange System, CES. It's at community-exchange.org.
There you go. Community-exchange.org.
.org.
And you can only jump into that system right now.
Right now. Get it while it's hot.
Yep. But our maker created a system just like it already called Gold and Silver.
Actually, well, yeah, if you consider the Anunnaki our maker, then yes, they did.
Well, the Bible readers and the Torah readers, kind of Torah and Quran readers would kind of agree with that, too.
Right.
And we're instructed not to charge interest. Because, you know, the moment you charge interest, it fouls the system.
But usury is not interest. Usury is more like a rent.
Well,
right?
Most people consider it a rent on the money. And that's what you're not supposed to do. I've run across people who think of usury also being charging rent on a house or a piece of land.
Yeah, that's where I was going with that. On money, it would be considered interest. On property, it would be considered rent.
Yeah. Well, you know, what's the difference between charging rent on a lump of gold and charging rent on any other piece of land?
Right. Well, technically, like we were talking about earlier, it's not ours. It belongs to our maker, whoever that may be, according to one's religion.
Therefore, called non-religious.
Right. So, if you can't manage the land yourself, and you got to rent it out or sublease it out, then you don't need it.
Yeah.
Let them have it.
You got extra. Let the person who needs it, you know.
Yeah, but I can understand certain things, like, for example, maybe not so much like the story before with the slaves and the slave master being free now, and they're working for the slave master, and he's more like a manager. I mean, if, you know, you can't manage land, then you can go in and help somebody who's good at managing it and whatnot. You know, if you can't manage your finances, you can't manage your land, then by all means, go work for somebody, go live on somebody's land and help them do what they're doing. And, you know, reap the rewards.
Meanwhile, you should be making an effort to learn how to do those things yourself. Because those are basic skills.
For the most part, you know, in our day and age, things are so complicated anymore.
Well, that's because people have allowed them to become complicated.
Right, but what I'm trying to say is, you know, one person can't do everything. And so,
well,
you know,
but you should be able to manage your own finances and stuff like that.
Right. So, you know, we come together as a team to do things together so that we can be productive and fruitful as a network or a community, you know, kind of like the Ubuntu philosophy. You produce, you and your team, like you and I are a team, we're working the land together. Our team contributes to the community, what we have to offer, and other people's teams can contribute to the community, what they have to offer, and together the community thrives. But individually, we can't make it long-term, you know. We could, but it'd be a struggle, and we have very little to show for it, you know. That's why they say united we stand, divided we fall.
Yep.
Teamwork is a dream work. So we come together as a community, and we do things together. We have
that's
our
how the tiny dot succeeds. The tiny dot succeeds because it encourages us to remain separate. You know, not get involved in the other dots around us, and you know, basically, you know, we're well. You know, before my neighbor came and broke me out of it, I used to just stick to my own house. I didn't even know who my neighbors were. I saw them from time to time, but I didn't know who they were, and. If this noisy neighbor who used to live up in Canada hadn't come over and beat on my door and say, "Hey, who are you?" I really wouldn't have gotten to know anybody in my neighborhood. But because he made me come out of my house, I got to know him. I got to know his neighbor. I got to know my neighbor across from him. You know, and so I started paying attention to what was going on in my neighborhood. I started getting to know people. You know. That's really what gets us under their control is we don't pay any attention to anybody else.
Right.
Like, no, it's my neighbors, none of my business. He's like, well, we're all brothers and sisters on this planet. So it is your business. And the one that you see is the one that promotes your business. The one that's all the way around the world. You know, why are you paying for the war that's being prosecuted over there? You don't know those people. They don't know you. All they know is you're the ones that sent the bombs.
Right.
Well, what the heck are you doing that for? You know, you need fuel for your cars, and you don't have any petroleum in your ground? Gee, maybe you should work out an alternative method for running your car. Yeah, it's perfectly
right.
doable.
Like fuel or wood gas fires.
Well, you know, almost 100 years ago, there were 5 ways of moving cars down the road. All of them were able to achieve, you know, miles of 120 to 200 miles per hour, you know, per hour. You know, in the early days of cars, they were able to get cars to go down the road that fast. They all had, you know, fairly good efficiencies, comparable to what we have nowadays. You know? I mean, I haven't seen a substantial increase in gas mileage since I was a kid. I have yet to see a car that can do 100 miles on the gallon.
The other thing we've seen was an increase in fuel costs.
Yeah. Well, which is due to inflation, which is what Ron Paul was talking about today. Yeah. But there's 5 major ways of moving a car down the road. One of them was the electric car. They invented the electric car almost as quickly as they invented the car. You know?
Right.
And yet now, you know, we see an electric car, everybody's like, ooh, wow, that's new. No, it's not. That's old tech. And we should have been doing it all along. The other way is they use compressed air to move cars down the road. You know? And they were doing it efficiently. You know? Go buy yourself a tank of 3 cubic feet of compressed air and you should be able to drive around 200-300 miles on that. But do we have that now? Mm-hmm. Do they want clean and efficient vehicles? They say so. I can't think of anything much more clean or efficient than a car that works off of compressed air. Shoot, what's the exhaust? Air. You know, if you don't want dirty air coming out of the vehicle, then only put clean air in the tank. Gee whiz. That's a no-brainer. And yeah, there's wood gasifiers and diesel and steam engine. Stanley steamer. I mean, I hear people complain about, oh, steam engines are terribly dangerous. It's like, well, yeah, the technology back then was pretty dangerous, but so was an internal gas combustion engine at the time. And they still are, actually. You know, we won't sell kids dynamite, but any kid can go down and buy 5 gallons of gasoline at the drop of a hat. You can do a whole hell of a lot more damage with 5 gallons of gasoline than you can do with one stick of dynamite.
True.
You know? If they'd been developing steam engines all this time, then the safety problems would have been worked out. You know? And the starting problems would have been worked out. You know, as I understand, it takes time to start up a steam engine. But, I mean, you know, if we'd had steam engines, if Stanley Steamer hadn't given up when he gave up, you know, if people hadn't gotten scared away from them, we would have instant start steam engine cars right now. You know, all you have to do is pull to the side of the road and throw a bunch of brush and bramble into your firebox when you ran out of fuel and be back down the road. And every ditch and every highway would be clean.
Right.
You know? Yes, the geese want to get in their home.
Do what?
Oh, I'm just watching the geese. Shirley's about to... Shirley's about to put them away for the night. and Jack the Gander likes to drop in low and attack her. I guess he's been that way all of his life. All right. Yep, sun's almost back. It's almost time for me to go catch the rest of the loose chicken.
And it's been 1 hour.
All right.
And no callers.
No callers. Not even David.
Yeah, I think he's giving up on us.
This is DD&D minus D.
DD&D minus D.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
I'm tired. Sorry.
Yeah, me too. And I still plan on working out for an hour before I go to bed, so... Yeah! I gotta put in this order. I got a new customer for my aromatherapy product. And I didn't have this product in stock, so I gotta order it so I can ship it out when I get home. And David dropped off again, so... This concludes our DD&D podcast. You can check it out for future and prior podcasts at DementedDungeonsAndDragons.com, where we talk about pretty much everything except Dungeons & Dragons. And, yeah. So feel free to call in. We've had some decent podcasts in the past, so I'm sure we'll have some decent ones in the future. I guess we're just going through a dead zone where nobody's calling in. I don't know if anybody's listening or not. So, but nonetheless, yeah, call in and pick a topic. We'll talk about it. Whatever tweets your Twitter. So there you go. Anyways, let us know. My name is Kano, and I approve this message. All right, party on. Bye.